Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come unto him and sup with him, and he with me. Revelations 3:20. I have been asked so often lately, will there be a third world war? Can it be averted? This is a very important question for all of us, for we are all in it and of it. But when we look into the question with clear sight, we see that this war is inevitable unless we all change in our mind heart. Why? Because the elements and conditions that cause war are at present dominant in our thought feeling. We look back, I was told so often, that this is a war to end wars. That was the First World War. We heard the same thing in the Second World War, and we're hearing the same thing now. This war that has just passed has not produced a change in mankind. Opposition is still rampant. We see nations maneuvering themselves into new positions of power. The weak are still oppressed. Social and class conflict is as strong as ever. People are seething with prejudice, hatred, and injustice. Religious sects have become more intolerant. They are merely organized institutions denouncing each other while seeking to hold their adherents under a threat, making fear as a means of its submission. When all this goes on individually, there are collectively organized prejudices against others for the protection of individual interests and ideologies. As long as these things exist, there must be war, because these things are the foundation of war. These things are the things that bring war about. And not until we are able to discern these things and the cause of them, can we eliminate them from the mind of man. Men will then see the truth. But before he can understand the truth, he must realize that which is false around him. Otherwise, he'll only bring in the truth into his own prison, that prison of falseness which surrounds him or her. Therefore, look into the mind heart and see if there is antagonism, if there is jealousy, if there is envy, if there is prejudice, if there is opposition, is there acquisitiveness? Is there hate and anger? All these things do not belong to truth. Truth is whole, indivisible, and because it is whole, there can be no sin in truth. There be no jealousy in truth. There can be no opposition in truth. There can be no conflict in truth. Truth being whole and indivisible is complete. Therefore, you see, truth alone can save man when man realizes the truth. But he cannot realize the truth until such time he has discerned what he is doing, how he is caught up in his own ideas, his own images, his own states of separation, his own religious organizations, his own cults. And these things are all a state of separation that are battling continuously in the mind of man. And bringing into operation the conflict that brings war and suffering to the world. You must see my point, and therefore you will find that you can free yourselves also. But if you go to church, you pray to God for peace, while in your heart you still have antagonisms, you are a hypocrite, and your prayer is but an illusion. Wherever there is division, there is conflict, and conflict leads to war. We pray for peace, while in the heart prejudices and hatreds remain. We justify the liquidation of others for our own protection, so we create an opposition that eventually leads to further conflict. We are antagonistic towards class, race, and creed, so we call ourselves by different names, which become nationalistic and fanatical in nature. We are either Germans, Russian, English, Dutch, Chinese, Indian, Roman Catholic, Protestant, Jew, Dutch Reform, etc., etc. We build up in our minds distinctions, and our worship of God becomes hypocrisy, and our prayers are but an illusion. What I am showing you now is the state of your mind. Only in recognition of the state of your mind can you eliminate that which you're caught up in. Jesus took his disciples aside and told them these many things. And it's only the disciple who has come a long way can realize this great truth and can be of service to the world. You are of service to the world because you know, you understand. We must eliminate from our mind heart the cause of conflict which is fed by enmity, ambition, and selfishness. Only goodwill and compassion can bring peace, and this rests with us and begins with us. Political blueprints and conferences lead to nothing. The world is what we are, and we cannot sidetrack the issue. The world is what man is in his own heart, and there is no saving grace. There is no conferences. There is no outside help. All the help must come from within man himself, where there is the truth that is eternal and ever-present. The truth that in itself is indivisible, the truth in itself in which there is no sin, no good or bad. In this truth then there is completeness. That is the Christ of God that is in you, the Word that was in the beginning, the Word that was with God, the Word that was God, and the Word that was made flesh. So, I can be nothing else but the truth, because there is nothing else but truth. Therefore, I can be nothing else but the truth. I can be nothing else but the whole. Jesus knew that clearly when he said, "No, you're not. I'm in the Father, and the Father is in me." Even if we may not avert this war, we can at least begin to free our minds and hearts from the cause of conflict which prevents love from flourishing. How few realize the importance of the words of the Master, "Love your neighbor as yourself," as the foundation for lasting peace. And only by acting this can there be peace, for lip service is fraught with hypocrisy and illusion while the thought feeling is seething with antagonism and strife. You can go around saying, love your neighbor as yourself. That is the foundation of peace. But have you looked into your own heart to find if there is antagonism, strife, jealousies, envies? There is, of course, jealousies in all the different layers of consciousness from the lower to the higher. You have jealousy on the outside, which is the physical. You have jealousy in the mental and jealousy in the spiritual. The one becomes even more subtle than the other. If there is jealousy in any layer of consciousness within you, then you are jealous. Therefore, you're a hindrance to the expression of that which is real within you. You must discern that the truth alone is truth, and there can be nothing else but truth. And because there's nothing else but truth, you are the truth. There can be no division anywhere. God is infinite in nature. If he is infinite in nature, there can be nothing outside him. To be infinite, he must be complete, and there can be nothing outside him, and everything must be within him. And he must be within everything else. Therefore, consequently, the Master saw clearly, know you not I am the Father, and the Father is in me? There can be nothing else but infinity. Therefore, you and I must be infinity. Because you cannot be outside infinity, and because there can be nothing else but infinity, so you and I must be infinity. But before we can realize this great truth, what I'm saying to you now is a reasoning power that makes a path through the mind, a mind that is cluttered up with forests, forests of ideas, forests of images, forests of illusions. Divine reasoning makes a path through this forest of the mind, clearing it completely, so that eventually the light shall shine. The light is already shining. You do not create the light. The light is there. The light that shineth in the darkness comprehendeth not, yet is the light in man. Any profession or organization, religious or otherwise, that helps to maintain division must lead to conflict. When we manufacture arms to kill our fellow men, when we hold a specialized prejudice which leads to intolerance, setting man against man, we are feeding the smoldering ashes of war and conflict. We say now that our leaders will prevent war, a conference will prevent war. Let me tell you this. Jesus knew when he said, there'll be wars and rumors of wars, these things must come, for man will realize the truth. He knew the great eternal truth of the only one. Man caught up in separation, a divided man against man. The great and mighty truth of the oneness, the wholeness of God, is the only salvation for mankind. When we manufacture arms to kill our fellow men, when we hold specialized prejudices that lead to intolerances, setting man against man, we are feeding the smoldering ashes of war and conflict. Yes, this is all too true. But how can we alter it when we are only too thankful to get a livelihood out of it? We have to follow the economic system we have created so to live. And before a change takes place in mankind, the system must change. And the system cannot change until mind's heart begins to change. And there we find then freedom. Greed, power, position dictate our economic structure. dictates our occupations. But right occupation in itself does not solve the problem. We must have that inward freedom of reality, otherwise we will be insufficient with an inward poverty that drives us on to destruction. Honey, if you look into your mind heart, you will see where there is an inward poverty that's driving you on and on to destruction. Whether it is the destruction of your mind, your body, or civilization. Take it from me now. I know the words of the masters. I've been with them. I understand them. But to understand them only is not sufficient. There must be a realization of this oneness. But it only comes to yourselves within yourselves. I cannot give it to you like I give you this water. But nevertheless, it is a fountain from which you can drink. With this fountain you shall never thirst anymore, because it will fill that vacuum. It will eliminate that inward poverty and give you supreme realization of your oneness with God. That which in itself was in the beginning, and only through this divine reasoning, awareness of the things that are hindering the expression of the divine nature within man. And if whenever you find yourselves in this particular state, then you will begin to discern your mind. Immediately begin to discern your mind, you will find that these things will dissolve away. Only when you are caught up in them that you are led to destruction. The error is in the self, and the elimination of the self destroys the error. The denial of the self destroys the error. If anyone should follow me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily. If one would become a disciple of mine, he shall forsake his mother, his father, his sister, his brother, his wife and children, and even his own life. Otherwise, he cannot be a disciple of mine. You know the meaning of that, don't you? Because all these other things are separations. These things are separations in the mind. A mother, a father, a child, a wife, a husband, these things are all in separation. And Jesus was showing the separation in the mind to see the Christ alone that is not separated in any individual, neither is it in opposition to any individual, but is the whole truth and nothing but the truth. Word that was in the beginning, the Word that was made flesh. It is in this completeness of reality that must be sought first. Then all other things shall follow. In the words of the prophet, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all other things shall be added unto you. It is the deeper meaning that we must seek, not merely its superficial meaning, while the mind is filled with conflict and antagonism. For without this inner freedom, there can be no peace. This inner freedom is not an acquisition with which to glorify ourselves. It is a state of being in which there is completeness, where there is no restlessness, no self-aggrandizement, no desire, where there is silence and a state of being that is immortal. When there is a knowledge of completeness, you are all there is. And in that there is freedom. In this state there is no desire for outward manifestation or to show the world your possession of it. You do not need to crave to be a great artist. You are that when this imperishable treasure is known to the soul. In this state, thought frees itself from conflict, from conquest, from ignorance, intolerance, and from craving. It is this state, then, we must seek, so that we eliminate conflict from the world. In that state is a state of being in which there is completeness, where there is no restlessness, no self-aggrandizement, no desire, where there is silence in a state of being that is immortal. No thought, no movement of any kind, an awareness that is complete. Then you find the forces naturally flowing through the center that becomes aware of itself. Not separated from the whole, but in the whole, and the whole in it. Yes, we are thirsty, but anyone who drinks this water I give him will never thirst anymore. Reality alone can quench the thirst for that which is not permanent. Is it not the impermanent that we are all seeking, and our thirst cannot be quenched? Jesus knew the answer to this great problem, and I will deal with some of his sayings that not only caused dissension among his own disciples, but still cause dissension among us today through lack of understanding. In John 6:35, Jesus said, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never be hungry, and he who believes in me will never again be thirsty." Jesus made this remark prior to the one which has caused a great deal of misgivings among so-called Christians throughout the world. And I'm going to eliminate this difficulty now in your mind, and you will see how clear the mind of the Master was. First of all, he made this statement, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never be hungry, and he who believes in me will never again be thirsty." This was the light that was the light of man. The mention of hunger and thirst prepares the way for the mention of his body and blood later on. "He that cometh receiveth all things that he needeth for body and soul." He that cometh to the truth, the Christ, the only one, the truth which is indivisible, the truth which is inseparable, the truth which is wholeness, in which there can be nothing else but wholeness in reality. He that understood his words would cast himself upon the life of God that is within the Christ, which is peace and joy and freedom. Therefore, ask in your own hearts and mind, have you cast yourselves upon the life of God, that which is the Christ within? And there dissolve everything that stands between you and that Christ? In the old version, the word "shall" is used. the expression of the Master is very strong and means that not at any time, nor on any occasion, nor by any chance would he fail to satisfy. What a wonderful truth. In John 6, verse 36, "But as I told you, though you have seen me, you do not believe." Verse 38, "For I have come down from heaven, not to carry out my own will, but the will of him who sent me." This is the Spirit of God in man, because God and man are inseparable. The truth is inseparable. God and man is inseparable. Therefore, when you have seen me, you have seen the Father. That is the real truth of the Master's words, the inseparability, the indivisibility of truth. "Call no man your father on earth, for one is your Father who is in heaven." The kingdom of heaven is within you. Here we see the truth then of the infinite, in which there is no division, no outside. I of mine own self am nothing. It's the Spirit of the Father within me that doeth these things. So Jesus denied himself completely, so that the Spirit of God would manifest in him. And unless you deny yourselves also, the Spirit of God shall not manifest completely in you. It's the denial of the self that eliminates the error. It's the error in the mind that leads you astray, and the self is the cause of the error. Dissolve the self into the wholeness, because there can be no separation. Then the error passes. Verse 40, "It is the will of my Father that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him should possess eternal life." This means everlasting life in the present as well as in the future, to those who will recognize that the ever-present life is eternal. The words "will raise him up" means a higher and better expression of the same life. There was murmurings among his hearers, and they did not believe him. They said, "Is this not the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? And he says he came down from heaven." Here was the ignorance of the people he tried to teach. He was showing them that only one Father existed of all, that is our Father in heaven, that binds us all together as one. That is the truth that eliminates all error, because the self is dissolved away. We see clearly how blind they were to the truth of the one and only God who created us all. Verse 45, "In the prophets it is written, and they will be instructed by God, every one who has listened to the Father and learn from him comes to me." How wonderful is that verse? You cannot help it. If you learn of the Father, you must come to me. You must come to the Christ. He was speaking from the Christ state. From the state within himself, the realization of his oneness, the complete elimination of the self. And there the Christ stood out boldly and fearlessly, because there could be no fear in the Christ. There could be no inharmony in the Christ. There could be no death in the Christ. And he who learns of the Father must come to me. Jesus was no doubt referring to the prophet Isaiah 54:13. The Eternal will train all your builders and prosper your sons mightily, your tribe shall be stable. Jesus refers to the manna of the desert as the bread to support physical life. But what he was giving was the bread of eternal life, not the manna of the desert, not the food that you eat, but the bread that comes down from heaven, the bread of eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your ancestors ate manna in the desert, but they died in their ignorance. But the bread that comes down from heaven is such that one eats of it and never dies. I am the living bread which has come down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And more, the bread that I will give is my flesh, given for the life of the world, the Word that was with God. The Word that was God, and the Word that was made flesh. Jesus speaks from the Christ Spirit, in realization of his oneness, the elimination of the self. Oh, for my own self I could do nothing. It's the Spirit of the Father within me that doeth these things. So in that state of consciousness, there was the consciousness of God revealing itself, the Christ in man. Now his hearers wrangled with one another, saying, how can he give us his flesh to eat? So Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I tell you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life within you. He who feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood possesses eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day, for my flesh is real food, and my blood is real drink. He who feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood remains within me, and I remain within him. This is the flesh of all flesh. This is the Word that was made flesh in the beginning. This was the Christ who spoke, not the flesh which you see and look upon, but the flesh of the Christ, the only begotten Son of God. And that same perfect flesh is in you and me. Even as the living Father sent me, and I live by the Father, so he who feeds on me will also live by me. Such is the bread which has come down from heaven. The meaning of his words is clear to all those who understand. The Master was speaking from the Spirit of life, the Christ within, the Word that was made flesh. His flesh was his true nature, was the nature of the Christ. His blood was his life. And to eat and drink is symbolic of making it our own, consuming it, as it were. We consume it and it enters into us and it becomes us. And that is what he meant. That is the true meaning of the Master's word. So that it becomes us. and we become it. His nature and his life must be consumed by us, that it becomes our nature, our life. This is then the only salvation for the world. There is no other. Your conferences and blueprints will only lead to further strife and misery. I am leading you in to the Master himself. Yes, his very words to me are true. They are truth themselves. Verse 55, old version. For my flesh is true meat and my blood true drink. True in the sense of not deceiving. When one has his life and nature, one is not then deceived by the world in separation. Not deceived by separateness, separate creeds, separate dogmas, organization and religion or form or nationalities. Here we see then, you are not in any way deceived by these, because you have transcended them into the Christ. And there you have lifted everything up out of the mud, out of the stagnation of the human mind, into the glory of the understanding of the Christ. When one has his life and nature, one is not then deceived by the world in separation and all that is in it, or by ignorant creeds and dogmas that cause dissension in human relationships. Verse 57 means that the Father lives in the Son and the Son in the Father. Know you not, I am in the Father and the Father is in me? Jesus spoke these words in the synagogue at Capernaum. There was only one synagogue in Capernaum, and it was built by the centurion, as stated in Luke 7. The centurion whose servant was ill, Jesus asked to heal the servant and was told that the centurion deserved this favor of the Master. For he is a lover of our nation, and was he who built our synagogue. It is interesting to note that in the findings of the ruins of the synagogue of Capernaum was found a block of stone with a pot of manna carved on it. And it was opposite to the rostrum where Jesus stood at the other end of the synagogue, where the preachers gazed upon it because it was significant of the time of Moses. And here was the pot of manna, and Jesus gazed upon it, and his eyes revealed the truth to him when he said, "Yes, you ate the manna in the desert, but you died. But the bread that I give you is the bread that comes down from heaven, eternal life." Now his disciples were divided at what he said, and many left him. Think about it. So great a wonderful man. And yet, because his disciples were divided at what he said, and many left him because they did not understand the truth, they could not take them in. They were too filled with separation, too filled with ritual, too filled with dogma, so they were unable to understand his words. In verse 59-64 it states that he spoke in the synagogue of Capernaum, and that many of his disciples said, "This is hard to take in. Who could listen to the like of this?" Jesus, inwardly conscious that his disciples were murmuring at it, said to them, "Then what if you were to see the Son of Man ascending to where he formerly existed? What gives life is the Spirit. The flesh has no avail at all. The words I have uttered to you are Spirit and life. Yet there are some of you who do not believe." Verse 66 to 69 it says, "After that many of the disciples drew back and would not associate with him any longer." What a tragedy for them. So Jesus said to the 12, "You do not want to go too?" So Peter answered him, "Lord, who are we to go to? The words you have are the words of eternal life." Even his 12 disciples could not actually believe the truth of what he was telling them. They could not believe the truth of the eternal life. Many have listened to me and refused to believe what I have said, far less Jesus. Are my words not the words of eternal life? Some have turned away because of their creeds, their dogmas. They cannot eat or drink the truth of the living Christ that is in every soul. There is still sept and separation. There can be no separation. Truth is whole, it's completeness. I can be nothing else but the truth, the whole truth, and nothing else but the truth. Because there is nothing else but truth. Conformity prevents them receiving the bread of eternal life. For they live in separation, as did some of the disciples of Jesus. So it will be that many will die in their ignorance of the ever-present eternal life now. This life is now, not at some future date, not at a particular day in the week, or one particular time when you pass from this earth. This life is eternal now because it can be nothing else but eternal, being indivisible. And I am the life that is eternal, indivisible. There can be nothing else. Jesus knew this. It was his words. They are mine. His words are mine. I understand his words. He's mine. What a wonderful mind. We thank our Creator in whom we live and of our being, that he sent him into this world so that we might learn of the truth of the only one. We will learn of the Father, and then he who learns of the Father must come to me. You will now see that this is a true teaching of the Master Jesus himself. I am in the Father, and the Father is in me. Benediction. Beneath the canopy of heaven and in the farthest star, I am there. Worshippers may come and worshippers may go, but I will be there always. The world may deny thee while playing with the playthings of time, yet I will always be there. Yes, even while the embers of earthly life flicker out, I will be there. O beloved,